5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America. One show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
All right, today we're going to talk about how we can find out and how much we can find out and what it takes to get there. So let's say in this case, I want to find out at a level of 7. Okay, so I find that level on my graph and I come horizontally to my gradient line. Where it intersects with my gradient line, I'm going to come straight down to where it intersects with my round line. That there is going to tell me how much I have to round to find out what I need to find out. See, as you can see, the more you around, the more you're going to find out. And also, if you stay down here and you never around, you'll never find out. So I hope this lesson is helpful. Thank you.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
All right, hour number 3 of the Wendy Bell Radio Program is officially on the clock. You know, it's the tale of two presidents, for sure. And I think we need to draw the distinction between what we are seeing and what we are getting. I think it's interesting when you hear, especially if you're on X, I'm on Twitter commonly, I enjoy it. It's not the cesspool I think it once was to the degree that it was. I get a lot of great information there. And you'll get these quiet stories that the media would never pick up. It's the Donald Trump on the campaign trail, going into a McDonald's or whatever and praying with the employees, or Trump showing up at an Iowa fraternity house with pizza and throwing a football with the guys, or going to a diner and just to say hi. Right? Now, that's campaign driven. You get it, of course. It's optics always. But there's that quiet stuff that doesn't get covered. When Silk died, I think that's what it was, Diamond and Silk. Donald Trump, I believe, covered the expense of the funeral. And something pretty extraordinary happened, or is happening today in New York, I want to tell you about. But first, Associated Press, APnews.com. What is Joe Biden doing today? Got a lot going on. Biden fundraiser with Obama and Clinton nets a record high $25 million, the campaign says. This is just published today, 10:30 a.m. A fundraiser for President Joe Biden on Thursday in New York City today that also stars Barack Obama and Bill Clinton is raising a whopping $25 million, setting a record for the biggest haul for a political event. Now, one of the things that I think turns most of us off about politics is it really should not be about the politician. It should be about his or her people. It should be about the constituents. It should be about us. It should be we the people. It should be about America. And these people get so ensconced in their bubbles of ego suck that they really do believe that they are rock stars, that they are celebrity in some capacity. And so the eye is off the ball. A go. The Radio City Music Hall event will be a gilded exclamation mark on a recent burst of presidential campaign travel. Joe Biden can go to put on a tuxedo and hopefully be guided around by somebody, but he can't go to East Palestine within a calendar year of a toxic train, right? He can't go to Hawaii, but a month later, or months later, whatever it was, when he's guilted into it after hundreds of people are basically cremated in very curious circumstances. He can't go to the southern border. He can go to Radio City Music Hall. Okay. The hours-long event has different tiers of access. Like, really? Depending on donors' generosity. The centerpiece is an onstage conversation with the three presidents. How much would you pay not to go to that? You got to go listen to Obama, Clinton, and Biden. No, no, seriously. How much do I need to write a check for so I can get the hell out of this, right? So that's what's going on over there with Joe Biden tonight. Thousands are expected. Tickets as low as $225. Okay. And then there's this. I saw this yesterday on Twitter. I hate calling it X. It's just dumb. They shouldn't have changed it. It's a woman's post. Her name is, her moniker here, her handle is Terrible. And she writes this. Breaking. Donald Trump to fly to New York to honor Officer Jonathan Diller. He called the slain New York Police Department officer's widow personally to facilitate paying off her mortgage alongside Tunnels to Towers. The media doesn't want you to know this. Officer Diller is survived by his wife and their one-year-old child. Jonathan was killed by a criminal who's been arrested 21 times by NYPD, including 9 felonies. Yet he was released under Governor Kathy Hochul's bail reform. The suspects were believed to be casing a T-Mobile store on Mott Avenue. They were asked to move their vehicle just before shooting Officer Diller. So then we find this article on justthenews.com. Apparently, Donald Trump called the funeral home, arranging the visitation, the wake, etc., and the funeral for Officer Diller. And while his widow, who has to just be shell-shocked, is trying to coordinate the final moments near her husband, the phone rings, and a staffer answers, and it's President Trump asking for Officer Diller's wife and the rest is history. She invites him to her husband's wake. Today, I want to read this to you. Former President Donald Trump plans to attend the wake of late New York Police Department officer Jonathan Diller, who was killed this week during a traffic stop. Diller was fatally shot while approaching an illegally parked vehicle. The alleged shooter, Guy Rivera, refused to leave the vehicle on Diller's orders and shot him, the Associated Press reported, citing police. Rivera has multiple prior arrests, a point Trump highlighted when expressing condolences for the family in a Truth Social post. And I want to read that post to you. He wrote this. Our heartfelt prayers go out to the family of highly decorated NYPD officer Jonathan Diller, whose life was taken by a murderous career criminal yesterday during a traffic stop in Queens. The thug in question has 21 prior arrests and just recently got out of prison. He never should have been let back out onto the streets. To Officer Diller's family and all of the other brave men and women of law enforcement who put your lives on the line every day, we love you, we appreciate you, and we will always stand with you. He didn't say, I told Mrs. Diller that we're going to pay off her mortgage, that we've got her as long as she needs us. That's two different kinds of leadership. One is not a leader. One is a fictitious embellishment. A farcical human being with mediocre mental capacity at most on a good day, who was more enraptured with the idea of his own fame and significance purportedly than he was ever in you or me or the people of Delaware or any of us. People know this. This is the connection. This is the central nervous system, the double helix of MAGA. It's none of the extreme weirdness that people on the left who don't understand how we could love America to the degree that we do, who don't understand that connection, who don't understand everyone's need to be needed at the most base, intrinsic, core levels of who we are. Donald Trump was needed in that moment. And I don't know when this wake is. I'll presume it's happening. But I guarantee you what will not happen. You will not see Donald Trump making that officer's wake about Donald Trump. And therein, my friends, is at its very base the biggest difference in a tale of two presidents. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, safe and secure. Was it really safe and secure? Pennsylvania making some pretty big ballot moves. A judge has ruled on mail-in ballots. It's almost like the land before time is waking up out of the dark ages. Is it possible? The scintillating details. Next. All right, so this is exciting news for those of us who live in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is one of the greatest places in the world. I love Pennsylvania once you get out of Allegheny County, once you leave Philadelphia, once you're out of the area of all of the Democrat hellscapes that have ruined politics in this country or in this state. If you get out onto the highway, you get onto Route 30, you're on the Lincoln Highway and you're driving around, there is no better place to be. Love it. And it's corrupt as balls and everybody knows it. So this is a big deal. JustTheNews.com headline. Federal appeals court rules Pennsylvania must only count mail ballots with dates and signatures. Well, it almost feels as though we're stepping into the 21st century. Holy cow. Wait, you mean to tell me that you just can't take envelopes willy-nilly from God knows where? Or even better yet, those pristine ballots that we were told were mailed in that didn't have a crease on them and they were all filled out the same way? Because you know that happens all the time. Conspiracy theorist, big lie purveyor. So this is interesting. It had to go all the way to a federal appeals court. NAACP sued Pennsylvania in 2022 regarding the Commonwealth's decision to void mail-in ballots that are either missing a date on the outer return envelopes or have an incorrect date. And by the way, if you can't sign it, suck it. How about that? Sign it or suck it? Is that a good campaign slogan? We should do that. I'm going to get involved in the elections, and that's going to be my sign it or slap it. Okay. U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit ruled Wednesday that Pennsylvania may enforce state law requiring envelopes for mail-in ballots to be dated and include the voter's signature. Well, that's the good news. Because not far away to Pennsylvania's west, Chicago's Board of Elections adds over 10,000 votes, quote, mistakenly left out to unofficial count in the state's attorney's race. What? This is from CBS News. This is impossible. Is this possible? Do we have a clip about this? We do. I'll just give you the grease up for it, right? The gap in the race for Cook County State's attorney has narrowed even more. The Chicago Board of Elections added more than 10,000 votes to its total count on Saturday after its director of public information said he mistakenly left out some vote-by-mail ballots. Hey, guys, look, I'm sorry. It's totally on me. I didn't see them. I was busy. I'm sorry. My bad, but now everything's good. Nothing to see here. What? Listen to this news report. It's ridiculous.
Really, the big question now becomes election integrity. How does such a massive number of mail-in ballots not be tallied up on election day? According to the Chicago Tribune, as of last night, take a look at your screen here, former Judge Eileen O'Neill Burke is leading over Clayton Harris III by less than 1%. That's roughly 1,500 votes separating these two candidates out of about 500,000 votes. This is a dramatic change because just after Election Day, O'Neill Burke was 10,000 votes ahead of her opponent.
Oof.
Only to find out that 10,000 mail-in votes were left off over the weekend. We know these ballots are now being accounted for, and the election board admitted to making the mistake. They blamed it on speed over accuracy.
You're looking at a human error, and he's standing in front of you.
He
did not add two and two together in the rush.
How many of you out there are like, oh, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. So it's a dude and a woman, and they're going for this thing, and she's up, and or he's up, or whatever, and there's this 10,000 vote disparity between them. And then all of a sudden, we find them. Oh, I have no, you know what, I was working too fast. I didn't see that giant pile of 10,000. Have you guys ever mailed Christmas cards, right? At my greatest number, I think I sent out 180 of them. Before I realized, nobody gives a rip. Nobody gives a crap about my family or what we look like, right? So it's now down to like 25. But at my highest, can you imagine 10,000 articles of mail? I'm being like, oh, you know what? I walked right past those. I'm sorry. Next time I'll be more careful. And then the News Nation woman tiptoeing around it. Look at your screen. How is it possible? But they assure us nothing is wrong here. Everything's great. Yeah, it was human error. Come on, man. It's gross. This is what we're up against. This sort of nonsense that the RNC now, we understand job number one, which should be cleaning up the voter rolls. But job number one has been, you got to get all the lawyers and all of the people who understand the rules, the laws, the game, the shtick in every single voting place. It is a huge mission. But this is what's on the line. The unofficial count now stands at blank number of ballots after these 10,659 additional votes were added. Come on. Now, you're not supposed to talk about that. That's part of the big lie, isn't it? Please. My friends, when we get back from this short break, carving out the suck, one seat at a time. How do you replace Rhino Republicans? How do you get them out? Well, we've actually got a great example of that. It's very encouraging. You'll need to hear it next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So with so many Republicans, Mike Gallagher, Kay Granger, all of these people leaving the House, the Senate, whatever they're doing, and we've connected the dots, and we know this Paul Singer guy who's this billionaire who likes to, I would say, intervene and encourage with, I'm sure, some financial incentives certain people to bow out of their respective jobs on Capitol Hill. How do you replace Rhino Republicans? How do you replace Republicans who don't stand up for the Make America Great Again values? How do you do that? How does that process work? Because we saw 101 House Republicans, including the Speaker, the majority leader, the whip, the RNC head in Congress, all of them, Emmer, Scalise, Johnson, Stefanik, four of the five top Republicans in the House of Representatives, voted lockstep with Democrats to pass this $1.2 trillion omnibus, which, by the way, gives hundreds of millions of dollars to other countries to help them secure their borders, but does nothing for us. Full stop, done, done. Not playing, not voting, not caring. Shut down the government, shut it down. Shut it down. That's what I want to hear from somebody. 101 House Republicans decided to go along with it. So we start looking at these people and we're like, hey, we're very appreciative for these votes. We're very appreciative for these websites like Conservative Review, conservativereview.libertyscore. Blow your mind. Plug in your state representative, your congressional representative, your senator, and see how they vote. Do they align with your values? Does this person who puts an R next to their name, are they really a wolf in sheep's clothing? Who are they? And how do you get rid of them? Well, I think it's very encouraging that Trump himself has a role in weeding out these people and replacing them with candidates that he feels are down with the struggle. They believe in American exceptionalism and getting back to the roots of that meritocracy, of getting back to the basics of family and faith and freedom and rights and all of it and sanity. So I want to read you this story. This is from the Tampa Bay Times. Headline, Trump, MAGA candidate should challenge this Tampa Republican. I was like, wait, what? What's he talking about? So here you go. In a potential escalation of his simmering feud with Governor Ron DeSantis, former President Donald Trump called for a loyalist to run against Tampa area U.S. Representative Laurel Lee later this summer. She just got into office like last year. She's brand new, but she's not new to Florida. And Trump is well aware of who this woman is. She says she's a Republican. But she's an establishment-minded Republican. That is not what we need. No. Lee, a first-term representative whose district covers parts of Hillsborough, Pasco, and Polk counties in Florida, was the only Republican member of Florida's congressional delegation to endorse DeSantis for president over Trump last year. Think about that again. She was the only Republican member of Florida's congressional delegation to endorse DeSantis for president over Trump last year. Now, you can say that he got butthurt over that. Trump did. And he wants her out. It's a lot more than that, though. When DeSantis dropped out of the race in January and endorsed Trump, Laurel Lee followed suit. But Trump doesn't appear to have forgiven the original slight. Again, this is the Tampa Bay Times writing this. Any great MAGA Republicans looking to run against Laurel Lee in Florida's 15th congressional district, the former president posted to his social media site, Truth Social? If so, please step forward. He's actively telling you, I'm paying attention. Look, they want me mired down in Fulton County, Georgia. They want me in Florida, embroiled in some classified documents, mumbo jumbo, New York City. They want me in oatmeal. And I'm focused. I'm focused on what happens after this because November is the prize. And we've got to get the right people in place in time for said prize. No challenger for the publication of this Tampa Bay Times story had filed paperwork yet with the Federal Election Commission, according to its website. A potential Republican primary would be on August 20th. So it's coming up. So now somebody jumped in. Former State Representative Jackie Toledo of Tampa, who had previously run for the seat in 2022, who lost to Laurel Lee, indicated she would run. But this is the part that got me tingly. Not to get too graphic with you, but this makes me tingly. When you follow someone because you're no longer paying attention to the New York Times, you're not getting your news from your local channel, you know, it's no longer what you do at night watching the news, eating dinner. You're paying attention to social media. And somebody like DC Drano pops up on your inbox, and his name is Rogan O'Hanley. And he's a lawyer. He's a father. He's a Trump loyalist. He's MAGA. And he writes stuff all the time. He's been on this program multiple times. We think he's great. So we saw this headline. Brock sent it to me yesterday, and I went, what? FloridaPress.com headline, top Trump surrogate, D.C. Drano, may run for Congress against Lee in Florida. See, what Laura Lee also did that I didn't get to, she was also, if I'm not mistaken, she was the one in Florida who refused to stand up and say, you know what, we question the results of this election in 2020. She refused to get involved on that train. She refused to acknowledge people in Florida saying, we've saw too much funny business. You should not certify. Her job, I don't know if she was the Secretary of State. I'm having a hard time finding that right now. But I believe she was. Until she ran for this congressional seat, won, and is a rhino. And Donald Trump wants her out. And so he puts it out on Truth Social. Hey, 15th Congressional District, who are you? Where are you? Step forward. And that is where this story from FloridaPress.com comes in. One of former President Donald Trump's top presidential surrogates and political influencers, Rogan O'Hanley, a.k.a. D.C. Drano, may be considering a run for U.S. Congress against Republican Representative Laurel Lee in Florida's 15th District. In a recent conversation with Lee County Republican Party Chairwoman Michael Thompson, O'Hanley appeared interested, yet reserved, but said he would seriously consider a run against Representative Lee if all of the MAGA political planets aligned. Chairman Thompson told the Floridian that O'Hanley, quote, has not ruled anything out. I spoke with Rogan O'Hanley, asked him for his thoughts on him running for the 15th after hearing the calls from President. This is what happened to Sean Parnell, right? Our friend Sean Parnell, who Donald Trump called out specifically as a war hero, as a patriot, as a defender of our freedom, as a damn good human being, and said to him, you know what? I think maybe you should consider running for office. And the knives came out. O'Hanley's potential congressional bid would certainly be seen as a shot across the bow to Team DeSantis, as Representative Lee was the only Florida Republican member of the U.S. House of Representatives to endorse DeSantis over Trump during the 2024 Republican presidential primary. Doesn't appear to be many love lost between the two or their respective supporters. But I read this to you not because it's definitive, but because it's movement. It's machinations of movement. It's acknowledging we have way too many things that we've been asleep at the wheel for far too long to fix. We've got to do it now. We've got to get the apparatus of volunteers in all of these polling places. We need lawyers who are ready to go, who are knowledgeable, who understand election law. We need to go into conservativereview.libertyscore. Or libertyscore.conservativereview or whatever it is, and go and see who the rhinos are. You vote against us. One of the most disgusting things I heard was that last night there was a bill and it went straight party line. And the bill was, it was something in the Senate that Senator Bill Hagerty put out. Every single Democrat senator voted against a bill that would ban our taxpayer dollars being used to fly illegal immigrants into the interior of these United States. You pay for that. And every single Democrat senator kiboshed it. Listen to Hagerty.
Senate amendment that would ban the use of taxpayer money to fly migrants into the U.S. goes down in a whopping defeat. It was 51-47. Every Republican voted for it. Every Democrat voted against it. Republican Senator Bill Hagerty out of Tennessee proposed the amendment. He joins us in studio, and hello to you. Was the writing on the wall before this thing even hit the floor?
You know, it was amazing. Chuck Schumer tried everything he could to block this until the very dead of night. We ran right up to basically a government shutdown before he finally capitulated and said, okay, we'll put it on the floor. But I didn't get it onto the floor till the middle of the night, perhaps 1:30 in the morning, when the vote went down. I think they thought no one would see it. no one would see that every Democrat voted to fly illegal migrants in here from countries like Haiti, Cuba, Nicaragua, Colombia, on taxpayer funds using charter flights, flying them over our border and putting them into the interior of America.
How many are we talking about, Senator?
320,000 last year.
I mean, they tell you who they are. They tell you how they vote. They tell you how they feel. They tell you you don't care. They tell you open up your wallet and pay for it and shut up. That is what we're up against. When we come back, I think it's the story of the day. It's one of those where you're like, not a chance. That happened? No. That's where we are. Yeah. That's where we are. It takes us to Australia, ladies and gentlemen. I will explain the riveting details next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. I got to hear the trumpet. I love it. All right, New York Post. Do you remember? I do. Australian soccer team with five transgender players goes undefeated in women's tournament. Huge difference in ability. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. My cheeks are kind of hurting on this one because I've been smiling about it. It's so silly. We've long passed that phase of ire and just clenching fist. I wanted throat punch. I say it, but we've kind of moved beyond that. You've gotten in your comfortable, numb area, and you're like, of course. This is so dumb. Every single thing about this story is so preposterous. This is the new normal. This is what they want you to think is the new normal. Let's just review again. Australian soccer team with five transgender players. You know as well as I, these aren't women playing on the dudes team. These are hairy men who want you to think because they're put on a padded bra that they're chicks. Okay? And the takeaway for their record, quote, huge difference in ability. Get out. Is that because men and women are different? Is that why? I mean, it's so weird, right? An amateur Australian soccer team has stirred controversy after the squad, which includes five transgender women. Can we just say five dudes who need counseling? Dominated a woman-only tournament and claimed the $1,000 prize, according to a report. The Sydney-based Flying Bats Football Club went undefeated during the four-week tournament, including one game in which one of the transgender women scored six goals en route to a 10-0 beatdown. You guys like how I use that lingo, nil? I know, I'm so good. Daily Telegraph reported. Some parents pulled their daughters from matches over safety concerns. Officials from other soccer clubs in the Northwest Sydney League told the paper. Oh, I should see. Some really big looking like dudes on that women's team. They believe the Flying Bats, who are backed by Pride Football Australia, should instead play in the mixed gender games that include men and women. Wait a minute. See, they buried the lead here. So you mean to tell me that we've advanced far enough in Australia where they used to like tackle you in the street and handcuff you and take you away if you were lying at the beach without a mask on? They would drag you off and throw you in jail. But they're with it enough now to have female competition, male competition, and then kind of co-ed, free-for-all, mixed gender competition. And the dudes on this women's team decided that they were going to play as women, and nobody was like, come on, man, that's just stupid. That's stupid, and that's not how this works. No. And there was not a woman on the team with them who was like, you know, I'm not really feeling comfortable about all this. No. Our girls are here to play for fun and expect to play in the female competition. They did not sign up for a mixed competition, one senior club official said. Some of the parents were so concerned they would not let their daughters play. I don't disagree. I'm not going to play a sport with a guy running full speed who could tackle the liver out of me and wipe me out. That's what happens. It was so disheartening for them to see the huge difference in ability. They're killing it. You guys, we're living in this pseudo simulation where everything that you see and you hear and you feel and you sense, you know, is jacked up. But everybody's like, no, no, no. There's nothing wrong with that. Shh. Don't speak up. Coralie Smith, a spokesperson for Binary Australia. Honestly. An advocacy group that maintains that there are only two genders.
What?
Told the Daily Telegraph that the league is putting the players at risk. She claimed that some girls were told not to complain or forfeit in protest for fear of repercussions. Yeah, you got to get to that pivotal place in your life. It might take a full-grown man barreling into you and knocking out your teeth. It might be getting into a pool with a dude who's wearing a bathing suit that clearly shows he is a man pretending to be a woman. It might make that, might take that. You might be at Planet Fitness, right? In Alaska, and see a guy in the ladies' dressing room wearing a bra and a skirt, shaving not his legs but his face, and figure that's your tap out. Who knows? What is it? It's not, this isn't sustainable. It's not. People like real. You want to know what to expect. There are rules. If you break the rules, there's a consequence. There's some things you just don't go and meddle in. And they have pushed every button. They have moved every envelope because they want extra, extra, extra. And you're seeing the people who have been ditched so that the left can fall over itself to accommodate these groups. It used to be the L's and the B's and the G's. They got dumped for the T's. It used to be black voters. Coveted, catered to, promised the moon. Until the vacancy sign went up at the southern border. And every single Democrat senator voted against a measure yesterday to prevent your family's hard-earned tax dollars from going to pay so that illegal immigrants can travel for free and resettle in our communities. Crazy has a statute of limitations, ladies and gentlemen. I've reached it long ago. I'm sure you have too. Thanks for being here. Remember, Wendy Bell Radio Network app, follow along, join the live stream tomorrow. Just come on back. We love you. Peace.